Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle at Eric Goodman today. 3 Hour Recycling having an auction for crushers, van body trailers, porticles, vending equipment, ladders, racking cabinets, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Well, Michael Porter Jr., I believe that Calvin Booth wants to keep him.
I think so.
Okay. Now, if you're going to reshape this roster and try and get salary off of your ledger, off your P&L, you'll probably have to trade him. Can you make the case he's worth a max contract? I'm still having a difficult time doing that.
Yeah, I'm not there. I'm not there.
With that, Andy Bailey of Bleacher Report speculated about the possibility of a trade. And oh, by the way, I brought something up in the last segment. Something just occurred to me. With that, here's the proposed trade. Nuggets send MPJ to the Magic. It's a three-way trade. Nuggets, Hawks, Magic. Nuggets send MPJ to the Magic and a first-round pick this year, 28th overall, to the Hawks in exchange for Jonathan Isaac from Orlando and Bogdan Bogdanovich from the Hawks, who has averaged 17 points a game.
Yeah.
Really nice player.
Nice player.
31 years old.
Right.
And a fellow countryman of Nikola Jokic. Orlando would get Trae Young and Porter Jr.
Wow.
Hawks would get 4 first-round picks. One from Denver, 3 from Orlando, Cole Anthony and Anthony Black. For starters, is this something that you would even consider if you're Calvin Booth?
No. No. I don't think so. I don't think it fits. I think the Nuggets are kind of low-hanging fruit for national people because of Michael Porter Jr. and the contract that he carries. And he's what? He's the third option on this team when he could be the second or the first option on other teams. And he's got great upside. So he's an intriguing target. I get it. This one probably doesn't work for me for the Nuggets because this is all about where the Nuggets end up and how they end up with. I think you and I both still think that I think KCP is going to end up back with the Nuggets. I think that the Nuggets will, and sooner rather than later, because they can now negotiate with their own free agents. I'm hoping we hear something about KCP sooner than later, but that remains to be seen. So I get why the Nuggets and Michael Porter Jr. is an attractive possibility. This one doesn't fit for me. Doesn't fit.
Okay. I hate to call this guy out, but I'm going to.
Do you really hate it?
Hate what?
Calling him out.
No, because I'm just going to read about who he is.
Oh, okay.
Just who he is. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. I'm sure that he knows something about basketball. This is what it says on his Twitter handle. I write about the NBA for Bleacher Report, and I'm an attorney in Wyoming.
In Wyoming?
Wyoming.
Huh.
And there's a picture of him on Twitter at a Nuggets game.
Ah.
So I'm sure he comes down here for games.
Sure. Well, okay.
I hate to say this if you're not doing this full time. Sorry. I mean, what do you think?
Well, Bleacher Report is, I guess, fairly reputable.
It is reputable.
So, I mean, I consider the source certainly in that regard. But all of this to me is just kind of...
And you know what? Now that I think about it, he probably has a Nuggets bias.
Yeah.
So why the hell would he think that this is a good deal? I mean, think about this for a second. They want KCP back.
Yes.
Okay. They have no great interest in trading Michael Porter Jr. What in the world makes you think Jonathan Isaac makes your team better? He's a defensive player, which is great. Okay. He plays power forward.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking for a backup for Aaron Gordon? Is that why you're doing it? Because he's a power forward. He's 6'10", 230. When it comes to playing small forward, he's not much of an offensive threat.
No.
He's not a guy you want to put in your starting lineup. Mm-hmm. Hell, Orlando didn't want to put him in their starting lineup.
Right.
Why would the Nuggets want to put him in the starting lineup? Do you want to go all defense? Do you want it to be KCP, Isaac, and Gordon? Is that the... I'm not saying that the Nuggets are dying for offensive help. But with that, are you trying to become a defensive-minded team in your starting lineup? If you are, then I suppose this trade makes sense.
I mean, you got to have options to score the ball. You already are questionable off the bench.
Right.
Trying to find points, right? Yeah.
Bogdanovich, I see why that makes sense. But if you're trading for him, you have no reason to want to bring back KCP at what will likely cost you about $25 million a season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sounds to me like he's matching salaries.
Do you think he'll get $25
million? Yep.
I don't know.
I do.
I think it'll be a little south of that. But I could
What's south of that? And don't say 23. What do you mean by south of that?
I'll say in the $20 million range. He's at, what, 15-3 now? Is that what it is?
I'll counter by saying he'll be over $20 million.
Okay.
I have very little.
I don't think I would argue that. But I think it'll be just over $20
million. He brings a lot of value to a young team.
There is no argument for me on any of that.
And he is probably chasing money at this point. He's already won two titles mm-hmm. with two different teams.
You're right.
So you might as well get your next big contract. Yeah, I like Bogdanovich a lot. Not much of a defensive player.
No, I do like him, though.
But you will get instant offense from him. So maybe the theory behind this proposed trade is you're getting more offense and you're getting really good defense.
Which is fine. But to your point...
You're playing a guy out of position, too.
Yes. And you're still... There's different ways to build a team, but you still got to have pieces that fit.
Right.
And if you're going with a big-bodied power forward to essentially replace a small forward, it doesn't make much sense to me. And you're not getting any points.
Right.
So you replace the points from Bogdanovich. Okay, that's fine. Because he will score for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he can play a lot of minutes off the bench.
Yep.
That's not a problem. I don't know. It doesn't fit quite as easily for me as some others that we've heard.
It seems a little mismatched.
Yeah.
It feels like it's a trade for the sake of a trade.
And
I think Michael Porter Jr. honestly is worth more than that. I do.
Yeah. It's interesting. As all of these are interesting, and nobody has to invest anything other than a little time and some creativity to come up with a trade like this that will at least make you stop and say, huh, okay. And then you think about it a little bit, and it's like, well, wait a minute. This guy doesn't quite fit what the Nuggets have.
Right.
Unless you believe somehow Jonathan Isaac can back up Nikola Jokic in some fashion. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they're thinking, but I'm with you. I think in the broader perspective of things, I think the goal is to keep KCP and Michael Porter Jr. and add creatively to their mix coming off the bench. However they're going to do it.
By the way, this guy has never even come close one time to playing a full season. Guy's always injured.
Right.
First season played 27 games. Second season played 75, then 34. Now, granted, that was the... 1920. That was the...
2020.
2019
would show great perseverance on the kids.
Well, that was the COVID season.
Right.
And then he missed the entire 2020-2021 season, missed the entire 2021-22 season, and in 2022-2023 played 11 games.
Well, there you go. That's not too encouraging right there.
Andy, I hope you're a really good attorney. Because now as I dig deeper, that is one of the crappiest trade ideas I've ever seen.
Yeah, well.
A guy who's always injured.
Doesn't fit.
Nope.
Doesn't fit.
Nope.
Nope.
Bogdanović, I like.
Bogdanović is the only thing that you sit there and say, okay,
yep,
that's interesting.
Yep.
And I get it. He and Jokic are boys. That would be intriguing on a few different levels.
If you think about it, of those three teams, the Hawks get Orlando gets what? Trey Young. They get a baseball player, which seems to be a really odd fit as well.
Yes.
So they get Trey Young and MPJ. Now you have the Orlando Magic that are getting much better.
You better find some more basketballs.
Then you have...
That's a lot of shots.
Moving forward, maybe Atlanta getting much better with 4 first-round draft picks. Then, where have the Nuggets gotten better?
Don't we think... I don't know. You and I have done this a while. Don't we collectively feel that there's still more coming from Michael Porter Jr.?
He took steps in the right direction, moving his feet, becoming more of a scorer instead of just a shooter.
Right.
And at times he played better defensively for sure.
And do we think that Michael Porter Jr. has an honest heart and head about who he is as a basketball
player?
He's
very well liked.
No question about it.
He's an impossible guy not to like.
He really is.
Yeah.
And I think that he's taking very seriously in the way that he can to work on his game, to try to improve, to be the type of player that he lamented not being able to be verbally after the series against Minnesota.
Yep.
Where, I mean, you can't ask for a guy saying more than, you know what, we lost that series because I didn't show up.
And he's a good team player, in which last year when he was pulled off the floor a lot in the fourth quarter, he said, that's okay.
You're dang right.
Yeah.
See, I see a guy like Michael Porter Jr., who I have been a little slower to get behind, and I admit it. But I am more of a Michael Porter Jr. guy now than I've ever been.
I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't be.
All right.
And I like him. Great players never say it's okay to take me off the floor.
Yeah, okay.
Ever. Never, ever, ever, ever would a great player say it's okay if you take me off the floor.
He's not there. You're exactly right. He is not that type of player.
And the word you would use, I hate to say it, is soft. This guy plays better defense than me. Oh, so what you're saying is they're a better effort player.
And I don't disagree with you, but I will ask you, but I'll circle back around and ask you a question. Have we seen the best and the most of Michael Porter Jr.,
no,
or is there more coming?
You would think that there is.
I would think.
You think that there is hopefully more coming in terms of consistency offensively,
yeah,
and becoming better defensively.
Okay.
But he will spend the rest of his life, whether playing basketball or not, with a permanent drop foot.
Okay.
And that affects him. And that's the excuse I will give him. Because with what he is playing with right now, picture in theory, this is the way it was explained to me, your leg falls asleep.
Yeah.
And it's all tingly. Take away the tingle, but it still feels like your foot's asleep. That's a drop foot.
Ugh.
Now picture playing 82 games like that. And you are a jump shooter. And you're trying to move towards the basket, and you don't have a lot of feeling in that foot. He is a medical miracle.
He is.
The fact that he is still playing,
you are right,
at the level that he's playing.
That's for sure.
If he didn't have that drop foot, I think he'd be even better of a player.
Which is kind of interesting because that actually signals some toughness.
It does.
So can you have, but I don't disagree with your softness remark either. It's a contradiction of terms. It's interesting.
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
I mean,
maybe it is this. He understands his limitations.
Okay.
How's that for being fair? Coming up after the break, Boston Celtics are now on top of the NBA world. Where do they rank? On top of the North American world when it comes to being the best of the best in any sport. That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, 3-Hour Recycling is having an auction for crushers, van body trailers, vending equipment, ladders, racking, cabinets, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. In the meantime, if you are dealing with one of these issues, hair loss, weight loss, joint pain, Beyond Stem Cells can do all of that and more. How do I know? My good friend Carl Mecklenburg. He goes to Beyond Stem Cells because he deals with joint pain. So what does he do? Stem cell therapy. I have been on semaglutide for a while. I've kept the weight off, dropped about 15 plus pounds, feel terrific. That's what Beyond Stem Cells does. They really help people out. I have friends who I've referred. I have a buddy of mine who's dropped 50 pounds.
Wow.
Right. Tremendous amount of weight. And if you're dealing with hair loss, what a better solution than what I went through, which was a hair transplant that didn't even take. I can't even qualify anymore for stem cell therapy. Is what it is. Plus, it's 50% less the cost is from hair transplant surgery, and you don't have a big scar in the back of your head, which I do. Go to BeyondStemCellsDenver.com or give them a call, 1-833-720-STEM. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by High Country Performance 4x4 in Englewood, Colorado's premier one-stop shop for anything and everything 4x4s and trucks. High Country Performance 4x4, building cool shit since 1980. Go to hcp4x4.com.
Boston Celtics won their 18th NBA title last night, moving ahead of the Lakers. So, what is more impressive to you? Yankees 27 titles, Canadians 23 titles, Celtics 18, Packers 13.
The Celtics and the Lakers, to me, are the most enduring rivals at the highest levels of professional sports in North America. They're tied together through 12 finals appearances against each other. They are tied together through excellence, which between them adds up to 35 NBA titles. And while the Yankees are undeniable in the 27 championships that they've won, and if you're going to line them up in terms of what is undisputably the best franchise in North American pro sports history, you give your nod to the Yankees.
And I'm not going to.
And it's hard for me to do that.
No, I'm going to give you data.
But I like the Celtics and the Lakers just because of the way that they're tied together in the NBA.
I am going to
go for it.
Say it is not the Yankees.
Good. It's nice to have you aboard.
Okay.
Good.
So let me look. Can we get some thinking music?
Thinking
here?
Music.
Let's get some thinking music.
Oh, dear.
Okay. I'm going to look something up. I want to make sure that I am correct on this. Okay. With that, the Yankees have 27 titles and the Boston Celtics have 18.
Right.
The Yankees got a 43-year head start.
They did.
On the Boston Celtics.
Are you going winning percentage now? Try to extrapolate that out.
They got a 43-year head start. The Yankees started in 1903. Mm-hmm. The Celtics started in 1946. Mm. The NHL started during World War I.
Yeah.
So the Canadians, who have won 23 titles, they got a pretty significant head start as well.
Yeah.
The Celtics, if you average it out, number of years played as a franchise, the Celtics have won more titles in terms of percentage, I would think.
Or would be very close at any rate, right?
Right.
So, okay, good. I like That's kind of an interesting way to look at it. And I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah, because we're looking at all these teams starting at the same time.
Yeah, which of course they did.
And they did not.
No.
Let's see when the Canadiens started. Okay. I'm guessing probably close to World War. Can we get some thinking music, please?
We're still thinking?
A-D-I-E-N-S, Wikipedia. The Montreal Canadiens started as a team in the NHL since 1927.
Okay.
So that is still 15 more years.
You can make...
And there were only six teams.
Of course, there were only eight teams in the American League for a while.
Okay.
And there was, and there were none west of the Mississippi for the longest time.
Right.
The Canadiens might be actually, would be probably, although they haven't won since 93.
Right.
How about Toronto has won 13 Stanley Cups, but none since 1967?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. Anyway, it's kind of interesting to...
You can make the case of Boston's the most impressive.
You can make that argument.
They're nine behind and have played 43 years less.
I would say the Yankees and the Celtics have probably maintained their relevance at very similar levels through history.
And by the way, Mr. Red Sox fan, the reason why the Yankees have the most titles has everything to do with No-No Nanette.
Well, that's...
You want to explain that?
Well, the Red Sox ownership at the time that Babe Ruth was coming up. Remember, Babe Ruth won two games as a starting pitcher in the 1918 World Series.
He was...
the best player in the game at that time.
Okay. He is a better all-around player than Shohei Ohtani, period. End of story. Not close.
Gotcha.
He's not.
I'll live with that.
He was one of the most dominant pitchers of his era. Ohtani is not. And, okay, I'm guessing you probably know this, Bruce. Nigel, because you're a younger guy, okay? With that, is it fair to say that home run hitters probably have a lower batting average?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think Babe Ruth's career batting average was?
I'll go 2.9. He hit 29. Yeah.
2.9 is pretty good batting average.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
His batting average was 342.
Yeah, much better.
342.
Yeah.
His batting average was 342, and he hit more home runs in a single season than all the other teams combined.
Swinging like a 40-ounce bat.
Right.
By the way. But anyway, the story goes that the Red Sox, who had been dominant at the beginning of
right.
the night of that century, the 20th century, they were, the ownership at that point was trying to fund a off-Broadway play with the idea of taking it to Broadway.
Right.
And they did it by selling Babe Ruth
right
to the Yankees,
right,
thus ushering in the era and the age, correctly so, and I'm not arguing about it, the curse of the Babe.
With that, when you look at the Celtics and you look at the New York Yankees, the reason why they won more titles, they would have won a bunch. Well, I mean, how many titles would the Yankees have won without Babe Ruth? They still had Gehrig. I get that. Ooh. Eventually, they had DiMaggio. Eventually, they had Mickey Mantle. I understand all of that.
Yep.
But would they have won all of those titles with Babe Ruth if Babe Ruth was not on the roster?
Well, if he was still with the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, probably not as many.
Okay.
Yeah.
With that, you can make the case it was a brilliant move by the Yankees to accumulate more titles. And Red Auerbach did something brilliant that was not done back then. He thought out of the box. I'm going to draft a guy who is still in college who's not coming out. I'll draft Larry Bird in 1978, and he's not coming out till 1979.
True that.
That got them more titles.
Sure. No question.
At least a couple.
Three.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
two great off the field moves won the Yankees and the Celtics more titles.
Yeah, no question.
And ironically, an off the field move has cursed the Montreal Canadiens up until this day, when the Canadiens head coach left in Patrick Waugh while he was getting shelled, and Waugh said, "I am out, trade me, don't want to be here anymore." Let me rephrase that. That wasn't 1993. Let's move ahead to 1998.
Yeah.
1998. Yep.
Hmm.
That could have cost Montreal more cups.
Interesting. Everybody's got a pivot point, don't they?
Yep.
Everybody's got an intersection.
Coming up after the break, I know a lot of people aren't thinking about the Olympics coming up. Some of you might be. The golf team for the United States has been announced, and there is one major omission. That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, 3R Recycling Center is having an auction for crushers, van body trailers, porticools, vending equipment, ladders, racking, cabinets, tools, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Roller Auctions. Get what you want at the price you want. Go to rollerauction.com/MHS. And they'll send you notifications on their latest auctions.
Real quick, so I want to get to something else. Bryson DeChambeau was left off of the American golf team. That's because one of the metrics is you have to be top 15 in the Olympic golf rankings. LIV Tour is not. Bryson DeChambeau is easily one of the top two golfers in the world right now.
Yep.
But he was left off the team. On the team, Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, and good for him,
Wyndham Clark.
With that, our crack research team, which is Nigel, he's our team.
And
our
Gordon.
And Gordon.
They were using a slide rule.
Was Gordon really involved in this, Nigel? You can throw him under the bus, or did you do this research on your own? You want to take full credit for this?
Sure. Yeah, I will.
Gordon, dude just buried you. With that,
that's great.
We were talking about best teams in North American history.
Yes.
Yankees, 27 titles. Then you have the Canadiens, 23 titles. And then you have the Celtics, 18 titles. With that, we brought up a point in the last segment. Yes, the Yankees lead the list with 27, but they've been playing since 1903.
Right. A little head start.
Right. The Canadians started a little bit later than the Celtics didn't start until the 1940s. I don't mean to get all over the map here. When I talked about Patrick Waugh, that trade happened four games into roughly the 95-96 season.
Mm-hmm.
I said 93 originally, then I said 98.
Well, you were in the middle.
I'll meet in the middle at 95-96. With that, Nigel, what research did you find out about winning titles? What is the percentage for the number of seasons each franchise has played?
So we'll start with the Yankees. They are at 22.1% of
pretty,
the seasons.
Pretty that impressive.
Played,
that's pretty good.
That they've won a championship. All the right. Celtics are at 23.0.
See, that's good.
And then the Canadiens just a tad ahead of the Celtics at 23.5.
I figured that it would be best for the Canadiens, but that's interesting.
Very, very close. That,
yeah. See, so, I mean, so if you are going to take up the argument for the Celtics,
that's your argument. Even
that's
though
your argument.
You would still lose the argument.
You would. And
but it's pretty close.
But it's at least an interesting way to get to a different place than, well, it's just the Yankees.
Right.
Yeah. Nicely done, Nigel.
And something else to consider here, when you look at those percentages, at least the Celtics, We get some thinking music here, please.
Wow, three times in one
show.
Yeah,
I know. Okay. Celtics. Titles. Okay. The beauty of the beauty of the internet. Well, what did we do in sports talk radio before we had the internet? Because you had to do all this stuff off the top of your head.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
Correct. I'm looking up the decades in which the Celtics won titles. They won them in the 50s.
Yep.
Off the top of my head, they won in the 60s.
Well, they dominated the 60s.
I don't believe they won in the 70s.
Dave Collins was on a championship team one of those years.
Was he?
I can't remember. If they won one in the 70s, they won one.
I believe they won two. I want to say they won in 76.
With Dave Collins?
With Dave Collins.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Okay. They won in the 80s, obviously.
Yes.
They did not win in the 90s.
Okay.
Then in the 2000s, did they even win in the 2000s? Because I can't find this.
Well, they did in the 2010s.
Yes.
With Pierce and Garnett.
Correct.
Those guys.
And now they've just won in.
Right.
So they've won in almost every decade minus like two.
Which kind of falls into the category of have maintained excellence for the longest periods of time.
Correct.
That's the
Yankees won in the, we can go all the way back to the 1920s if we want to.
Dominated the 20s.
Okay. They won certainly in the 50s. They won in the 60s.
They won a lot.
They won in the
50s, 70s.
They did win in the 80s. In the 90s, they won a bunch. And how many have they won?
One of those decades, they didn't win as much. The 80s, I think, or something. I can't remember.
Well, here. This is the easiest way to know about the Yankees' drought in our lifetime. And all you have to do is look at Don Mattingly's career. He started in 1982,
mm-hmm.
and he retired in 1995.
Yep.
The year before he broke into the big leagues, they won a title.
Yep.
And the year after he retired, they won a title.
Right. But all nothing in between.
All you have to do is look at Mattingly's career, and that's your metric right there.
Speaking of one of the best players to not win a championship.
He's not top 10 or top 20.
He's pretty good.
He's very good.
I hate the Yankees, but Mattingly was a pretty good player.
I'll give you a player. I'll give you a player just off the top of my head.
You go.
Who never won a title. Better hitter than Mattingly.
Well, I'll give you the ultimate one. Ted Williams.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
No, not pretty good.
Yeah.
That's the best hitter that never won a World Series.
And he also lost the prime years of his career in World War II.
That's correct.
Then again, a lot of players
did. And the Korean.
Right. So with that, I'll give you another great hitter who never won a title. Better than Mattingly. Rod Carew never won a title.
No question. Right? Agreed.
Yep. George Brett?
He won one.
Yeah, 85.
He won one in 85.
Yep.
He won one in 85. Tony Gwynn didn't win one.
Right.
So
Mattingly was not near the hitter of any of those guys we just mentioned.
No.
He was very good.
No.
But like I said, he's not a top. He might not even be a top 50 player of all time when you throw in pitchers. And he was a great player. I can think of a lot of hitters that were better than him. They never won titles.
You probably can't think of 50 players better than him, but that's
50 players of all time? All time?
Better than Don Mattingly? That never won a title?
Oh, that never won a title.
Well, I thought that's what we were talking
about. Oh, I thought you meant top 50 players of all time.
Oh, no, no. Oh, for God, no, no. I'm talking about of guys that didn't win a title. He was a great player.
Here's the best player who never won a title. One of the best. I shouldn't say. It's a little hyperbole. You say Ted Williams is the best player to never win a title?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go Barry Bonds. Don't even bring up the steroids thing. Barry Bonds was the most feared player in baseball, so much in fact. And unless a team walked, Ted Williams with the bases loaded, that's what they used to do with Barry Bonds.
Ted Williams
was an unbelievable base.
Ted Williams, you go by the
best pure hitter in the history of the game.
Lived.
Best pure hitter that ever played. But Bonds was a pure hitter, pure power, 5-tool player, right? He was a 5-tool player.
But
he was a 5-tool player.
but you're a little casual when you say you don't tell me about steroids, because he did use steroids.
He did. And Major League Base,
and that changes things.
Okay. And you know what? And Hank Aaron admitted to popping greenies.
Sure.
What's the difference?
One is performance enhancing. One is being able to play every day.
Performance enhancing. So it doesn't make you stronger.
No, but you recover faster.
You do work. And you know what greenies do? When you have a night out on the town, Mickey Mantle, you can get up for the game because you have a lot more energy. Right?
I think there's a difference between what Pete Rowe, what guys taking greenies and guys taking anabolic steroids. That's my opinion.
Greenies are amphetamines. Mm-hmm. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And they help get you up for the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they don't change. They don't make you a more powerful hitter.
Okay. Let's cut through the, for lack of a better phrase, let's cut through the myth of anabolic steroids. It does not make you stronger. You can't take anabolic steroids and then suddenly you become bigger and stronger. You have to work at it.
Of course you do.
Okay, so you don't take it,
but it is the intensity of your workouts. It's the recovery. Well,
you got to do the workouts though.
You do have to do them, but don't tell me that you don't get stronger.
You do get.
Barry Bonds, just go look at him from the time that
look
he
at
was
his head.
In Pittsburgh and when he was in San Francisco.
I agree.
Don't tell me that if you've got warning track power that you're not. Anabolic steroids don't give you fifth row power. I mean, you're going to hit Brady Anderson, hit 50 home runs
right.
for the Baltimore Orioles.
Yep.
I mean, you will never, ever get me off of, here's the thing on Barry Bonds. Would have been a Hall of Fame hitter.
Yep.
Would have been a Hall of Fame player.
Yep.
If he had never played for the San Francisco Giants.
Starting in 1992, well before steroids were the rage, 34 home runs, 46, 37, 33, 42, 40.
He didn't need to do it.
No. Well,
didn't need to do he, it, but did.
Do you know why he did?
Because McGuire
yep.
and those guys were getting all the attention
and he's like,
in 96.
And oh, by the way, when he was hitting all those home runs, let's just throw in for fun. 39 stolen bases, 29 stolen bases, 29, 40. Batted over 300 as well. On base percentage was over 440.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Before steroids, he was a better player overall than Ted Williams.
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
I mean, you won't move me off center on that one.
Okay.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion.
No, I understand your loyalty.
Not loyalty. Just look at the numbers.
He was a great hitter, the best hitter of all time.
Yes.
And what year did he start?
1939.
Right. And how many black players did he play against? What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
The Rockies started their series with the Dodgers yesterday, and Luka Doncic had some comments after the loss last night. We'll talk about it next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, Mile High Sports.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us, mileysports.com. Can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, 3-Hour Recycling Center, having an auction for crushers, van body trailers, ladders, racking cabinets, tools, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. I was looking up Ted Williams' numbers, which are, I mean, everything jumps off the page at you.
Pretty
right?
staggering.
But here's the one thing that I don't think people talk enough about. His on-base percentage was over 48%.
Yep. For a career.
For a career. Now think about this for a second. One out of every two times he came to the plate, he was on base.
In fact, I think he leads all of the history of Major League Baseball with the highest on base.
That is unbelievable.
Yep.
One out of every two times he came to the plate, he was on base. Yep. So he would be on base half the time if you got four at bats. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it.
Alrighty, guys, just in case you missed it, the Rockies took on the Dodgers last night and fell 9-5. Shohei Ohtani had three hits, and the Dodgers did most of their damage in the last three innings. Did you tune into this game, and what do you expect going forward in the series?
I mean, the better team is the Dodgers. I would expect them to continue to assert themselves. The Rockies' undisputed weakness is their bullpen. It was at least another representative effort by Cal Quantrill as a starter. I mean, it was a pretty good ball game. I mean, you had James Paxton going for the Dodgers, Quantrill going for the Rockies. And, it's not surprising. What team hasn't done their damage late against the Rockies?
Right. All right, that's going to do it for us. Gordon, Nigel, great job today. Nigel, that research.
Killer.
Was easily the fourth or fifth best thing in the show today. Bruce, great job as always. I'll try and do better tomorrow. Make it the best possible day you can.